Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to say before we get started, and I don't forget, Tuesday night we will have our midweek service, okay? Tuesday night at 7 o'clock is our midweek service this week. We will not have it Wednesday. It'll be Tuesday, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 3. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again today. God, we realize if your Holy Spirit does not open up our hearts and our eyes of our understanding, that, Lord, we will not understand the message. So, Lord, we pray right now that we bind Satan away from anything that might interrupt us, and just open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, that you might convict us, you might show us these things which you'd have for us this morning. And God, we give you all the praise and glory, for it's in Christ's precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Turned on the television last week and watched the news. Bad news. Told the doctor when I went to see him, said, Doc, all I've seen this week is bad news. You've got to give me some good news. And he said, I had good news. He said, your body is a perfect example of what a man should be. And I said, praise God. He said, you're a couch potato. But bad news. Television, bad news. Pick up the newspaper, bad news. Look at your iPhone, bad news. I wonder if there's any good news today. And I'm reminded of a man that... A TV repairman, he was kind of lonely, didn't do a whole lot of work. Well, this woman had got one of these widescreen televisions, state of the art, HD, everything quality. Took it home. She couldn't believe the picture that was on that. She called the store up and they sent the repairman out and said, lady, I understand you've got a problem with the new TV that you've got. She said, yeah. He said, what seems to be wrong? And she said, well, you just come and look at it. It's supposed to have a great picture on it, and I want you to look at it. He went into the living room, looked at it, said, what's wrong with it? Isn't it clear? And he said, well, look at those reporters and the news people. Their faces are, don't you think the faces are kind of long? And he said, lady, if you had to report the news that they have, your face would be long too. There's nothing wrong except the bad news that we have today in our world. And I don't remember exactly, but Walter Cronkite said at the finish of his news report these words, and that's the way it is. Y'all remember that? Some of you do, some of you don't even know who I'm talking about, do you? Well, you got to go back in the years a little bit. The Bible, though, says here, it's the gospel, and the gospel is the good news. And I'm so glad there's all kinds of good news in the Word of God for you and I today. The bad news is that we're sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the good news is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now that's the good news. The bad news is we're under condemnation of God, and the wrath of God is upon us in our sinful condition. The good news is that Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sins, and we might have eternal life if we by faith will simply trust Him as our Lord and Savior. He's paid the price. And I want us to look at this passage of Scripture. One particular verse in the Scripture is in verse 3, Christ died for our sins. And in that, I want you to look at some things. One, I want you to look at the person of Christ. Christ, God Himself. The good news of the gospel is the person of Christ. Christianity is not a set of rules. Some people say, well, you know, preacher, if I go to church, I can keep this commandment, I can keep that commandment, I can live a pretty good life, I can do this. Christianity is not a set of rules, folks, that we come to church and try to keep. Let me tell you something. I have tried to keep those rules many times, and I have failed every time. And I'm so glad that the gospel is not a set of rules that we have to follow. The gospel is the person of Jesus Christ. It's the good news that Christ has died for our sins. You see, He was born in the flesh. He became one of us. He was as human as we are, and yet always God. 1 John 1:14 says, Christ became flesh and dwelt among us. Isn't that great news? This morning, we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving next week. I hope all of you can celebrate Thanksgiving together or with your family and friends. You know, it's the good news of Christ that gives us Thanksgiving. I've got something to be thankful for. He died for my sins. And I'm so thankful that God sent His Son into the world to die for our sins. And because of His humanity, He's able to understand us, you see. He's gone through the things that we go through. He went through some terrible times. You know, when somebody going through some terrible times, if I've been asked once, I've been asked a dozen times, preacher, you really think God cares for me? You know what? Yes, He cares. Amen. Our God cares for you. He loves you so much. The Bible says that He loves you so much that He died for you. He experienced the things that we experience in life. He knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to be thirsty. At the well, and He met the woman, he was thirsting, and He asked her for a drink. And then a little later on, the disciples were coming back, and the people were coming back, and He says, look. He had compassion on all of those coming that were lost in Jerusalem. He looked at the people and said, oh, Jerusalem, how long for you to come to me? I believe Christ loves you so much this morning. If you're sitting there and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He wants you this morning to come to Him. He died for you that you might have everlasting life. He knows how you hurt. He knows that you're lost. He knows all of these things. He knows you can't keep the rules that people always say. Well, when I get good enough one day, I'll be saved. You'll never get good enough to be saved. That's why Christ came. He knew that you couldn't be good enough. So He paid the price for you. He died for you. Oh, let me tell you something. He had tears in His eyes when He wept over Lazarus at the grave. He had tears when He wept over the sinful condition of the people. Our Lord cares. We see that Jesus in His humanity. We also see Jesus in His divinity. When Jesus was born, the Bible says, the Word became flesh. God in human flesh. The Bible says in Hebrews 1:3, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the Word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The Bible simply says there in that passage of Scripture in Colossians 1:15 that Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is God in the flesh. For the Bible says, in him dwells. That simply means in Christ dwells, permanently settled down in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Friends, the Bible tells us that God himself came down from heaven as a little babe. It was God spelling out for himself in the language that we could understand that he loves us. He gave himself for us. That's God in the flesh. That's God in his humanity. That's God in his divinity. God came. So we look at the person of Christ, and Jesus Christ is that perfect meshing together, or blending together, if you want to say, of humanity and divinity, of God. I was told a story one time that a little boy bought some playing blocks, and he was saved, and he knew his grandfather had never trusted Christ. His grandfather was one of these old men that was said, I'm not going to believe in God. That's for little kids. And he was sitting there with the building blocks, and he thought, well, I'll give my child, my little boy, grandson, a lesson. And he spelt out, God is nowhere. The little boy looked at it. He reached up and took the W and moved it over one and said, Grandpa, God is now here. The old grandpa began to cry, shed some tears. Through that message of, he wanted to send the little boy, God sent through his little grandson the word of the gospel. God is now here. Friends, that's God. That's Christianity. God in the flesh. He is here today. I believe with all my heart the Holy Spirit of God is in this very room. I believe with all my heart that he's touching souls and touching lives. I've heard too many people go out and say, oh, you preached to me this morning. It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit of God quickening to your heart. Someone said, oh, if we would just listen to the Holy Spirit and get our lives right. God is here in his person of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. He's here. Then we see also not only Christ, but we see his passion. Look at what it says. Christ died. Christ died for our sins. Well, death is it's not an unusual occurrence, is it? We see it every day. Every time we go to a funeral, we see death. It's on every hand. The Bible says it is appointed, a demand wants to die. If the Lord doesn't come back, guess what? Everyone in this room one day will die. That's a guarantee. Christ said, it is appointed. You have a time and an appointment with this thing called death. And if the Lord doesn't return soon, we'll all die. But let me tell you something. When it says Christ died, his death was unique. His death was unusual. You see, when Christ died, that word died speaks of a violent, violent death. It was not some quiet, serene room where they lead you in and give you something to put you to sleep and then give you a shot to stop your heart so that you don't feel any pain. No, the word died is a word that means he was slain. You know what that word slain means? Killed violently. They made fun of Christ. They were amused at his death. They delighted in killing. These soldiers, they knew how to make someone suffer. And they enjoyed to inflict pain. You say, well, preacher, people don't enjoy killing. Some people do. Some people enjoy someone else's torture. No one ever experienced a death of physical abuse more than Christ experienced on that cross. Remember, they plucked the beard from his face. That was amusing to them. Have you ever started plucking the hair from your face? The pain. I don't do that because it's pain. I use a very sharp razor sometimes because a dull razor pulls, doesn't it? Man, you don't like that kind of pain in your life. And then they came by and spit in his face. No one likes to be spit on. But they were amused at the blood flowing down his face for pulling his beard. And then they spit on his face until it flowed off his face like water. Not only that, they scourged him. They literally beat him with rods until he was a bloody mess. Then they took all of that and they whipped him with those cat of nine tails, and they whipped him and they whipped him till literally they ripped his to the bone. Most men would have died. But they enjoyed that as the people cheered them on. You see, no death has been like Christ. And then on top of that, they made him carry his own cross out to Calvary's Hill or Golgotha or the place of the skull, whichever you might want to say. We cannot in our mind imagine the pain that he went through. I've got a nerve, pinched nerve in my back, and every once in a while, you know, it feels like somebody sticks a sharp hot iron inside there and just turns it. Oh, that sharp pain makes you, you know, it hurts. Doctor asked me, are you allergic to anything? And I said, pain. He said, no, I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. Are you allergic to anything? And I said, pain. I don't like pain, Doc. He said, I guess you want me to deaden it where before I start poking this needle in your shoulder. And I said, oh, yeah. Please do. I don't like pain. And let me tell you something. Even when they deaden it and they stick that needle in there, oh, that hurts. Man, I don't like pain. But can you imagine how his body throbbed with the shock of pain as they put that cross upon his back and they made him walk with that cross on that bloody back and that open wounds and the bleeding wounds. And then not only that, when he got to Calvary's Hill, they stretched him out, rolled him on the back of that cross on his back, and then took nails and spikes and put through his hands and his leg. Nobody can explain in words the suffering that Jesus went through, and the Bible says, for our sins. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. The physical pain that he suffered that day, but also I read in the Bible, I see not only the physical pain, I see the spiritual pain. You know, it hurts when we're not loved. It hurts when people make fun of us physically. But when God, his Father, could not look upon sin because God is holy and Christ was made sin for us, when all of that sin weight was on Christ, he hollered, my God, why have you forsaken me? He suffered spiritually, knowing that he was made sin for us, and that the Bible says he went freely and gave himself. Oh, he was slain upon that cross, and the loneliness of that moment he knew so well. Folks, we see the person here of Christ, and we see the passion of Christ, but we also see the purpose of Christ. Look at that. Christ died for our sins. Those two little words. They wasn't Christ's trouble. They were our trouble. Those two words summarize all the trouble in this world today. Our sins. Christ died for our sin. You know what? I was watching the presidential debates. And I've watched the Democrats, and I've watched the Republicans, and I've watched Donald Trump, and I don't know all that other much. Oh, they all going to do such a great job. They talked about, if we can just close the borders. I'm for this, and I'm for that, and I'm not against this, and I'm not against that. And then they thought, people want to hear this, so we're cutting cost of insurance, and we're cutting this, and we're going to get America great again. And you know what? They're cutting all of that, and they're reducing the deficit, and they're talking about the environment. Oh, I'm going to make the environment good so that we can live longer. But I have yet to see somebody stand up in one of the debates and say, listen, the problem in America is sin. Our sin. Let's deal with that. You won't hear them deal with sin. They won't stop cutting sin, because if they stop cutting sin, they would be without a job. Nobody wants to deal with the sin. Oh, we don't want to put prayer back in our government. We don't want to put prayer back in our state. We don't want to put prayer back in our school. We don't want to put prayer back in our home. That would cut out sin. No, it wouldn't. It'll always be a problem because it's our sin. But when we put prayer back, God would take care of our problem. No wonder he says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, their sinful conditions, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. But they don't believe that promise. No, they think, they can do it by doing this and that. In the Bible, sin is a picture of death. I love Brother Bob Pittman. He comes here to preach every other year. I just like him. Some of you might get tired of him, but I never get tired of Brother Bob. I was listening to one of his messages the other day on a radio, and he says, everywhere sin is, you find death. Everywhere death goes, sin goes. Everywhere sin goes, death goes. Wages of sin is death. We sin, somebody has to pay for it. Somebody has to die. And the Bible says Jesus is the one who died for our sin. Let me tell you something. It was a custom in those days, the Bible says, that they release a prisoner. You remember the story? Old Barabbas was a murderer, and he was in prison. He was going to die on the cross. He was going to die on the cross. He was going to die on the cross. Guess what? I can just imagine, as he probably got his last meal, I don't know if they gave him a last meal in those days or not, but I can hear him down there in the prison. He said, tomorrow I'm going to die. Tomorrow I'm going to be hung on a cross. And he hears all this crowd hollering. He hears all of this man being beaten. He said, that's me. I'm going to be done that way. I'm going to be nailed or put on a cross to die. Next day comes. Man comes and says, Barabbas, you're free to go. Can you imagine what he was thinking? What? Me free?
I thought I was going to die.
And the jailer says, no. That man that we nailed to the cross the other day, he took your place. He died for you. Folks, let me tell you something. He not only died for Barabbas, he died for you. And he died for me. And he died for the world. You see, God so loved the world. Oh, when Jesus said, it is finished, he meant head on sin and conquered sin. He met sin going to a graveyard and he conquered death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? There is no sting because God paid the price. Our sin problem has been dealt with, the Bible says, and it was Christ who died for our sins. Isn't that good news? You're going to face death one day. It is appointed unto man once to die. You're going to be like Barabbas. You're going to have to face death one day. But Christ says, I died for you that you might go free. If you will put your faith in my Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary, you can have eternal life. You won't have to die. For the Christian, it's not death. The moment you close your eyes here, you open them in heaven, face to face with Jesus Christ. Well, that's the good news. Christ died for our sins. Christ paid the debt. You can't live the Christian life except through Jesus Christ our Lord. Galatians 2:20 is one of the greatest verses of Scripture in the Bible. It simply says, I am crucified with Christ. Man, is that what you've been? I've been crucified with Christ. He died on the cross. When he died on the cross, I died with him. Nevertheless, it says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. That's the good news of the gospel. Oh, that's the person of Christ. He died for our sins. That's the passion of Christ. He died for our sins. And that's the purpose of Christ. He died for our sins. Doesn't stop there. The Bible says in verse 4, he was buried. Praise God. He was buried. I believe it was old Gomer Pyle. I like Gomer Pyle. He said, good news, good news, good news. That's good news, folks. Christ conquered death. On the third day, he rose from the grave. And because he arose from the grave, we too shall live. Oh, we're just waiting for that glorious appearing and that blessed hope of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The Bible says in John 1:14, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's a promise of God. Amen. I'm glad somebody's alive. Wake up, folks. We need Jesus Christ in our life. If you don't know him today, the good news is you have an opportunity to come to Jesus Christ right now. And by coming, when you take that step of faith, you're saying, I put Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to trust him. I want to trust his death for my sins. He paid the price. I want to accept that. You don't have to do anything. Just believe. Just put your faith. And the Bible says you will repent. That means you turn around your life and start living for Christ. Forget the past. The past is past. You can't do anything about the past. It's over with. Christ died for our sins. Out of the past, he died for those sins. They're covered with the blood of Jesus Christ if you'll come to him today. If you don't come to him, well, they're not covered. But if you'll come to him by faith, he said, I'll wash you white as snow. The past is forgiven. The present, right now, you're in Christ. He'll seal you with his Spirit right now. You have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. The future. What about the sins I commit in the future? Let me tell you something. When you repent, you'll start walking further and further away from those sins.
As you grow in the Word of God, you get further away from those things. You won't do the things. But let me tell you something. If you do sin, in which we all do, we don't live perfect until we go to glory. He says, if you'll confess those sins, I forgive them. You see, when God died on the cross, He took care of the sin problem altogether. Past, present, and future. That's the good news of the gospel, folks. Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your blessings. We thank You, God, that You sent Your Son into the world. We will celebrate not long from now Christmas when You was born in a manger. Oh, Lord, we thank You that we can have eternal life. Lord, I thank You that one day You looked down from heaven and saw me and You touched my heart with the Holy Spirit, with the words, and by simple faith I stepped out and said, Lord, I want You to come into my life. Like a little child, I accepted You as my Lord and Savior. And Lord, I remember that moment just as clear as a bell. I haven't always lived for You, Lord, but I know that You died for my sin. I know that You set me free. I know that I'm forgiven. Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know for sure they're saved, Lord, I pray today they will come simply by faith and say, listen, I don't know, I'm not sure, but I want to set a mark. Today I'm celebrating Jesus Christ coming and dying for my sins. I want that new life right now. And ask Him to come into your heart. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can set that mark up. You can know in your heart that today you did exactly what Jesus Christ asked you to do. He died for our sin. We praise His name and exalt Him in everything we do. For it's in Christ's name we ask Him. Amen.